We're on a mission from God.
Entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are, coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, right next to Area 51, so nobody can find us. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online. I'm live with you today, and this is the talk show Hell Hates. Let's start out. I have got 14. There's one missing here. I'm looking for all my articles here. About 14 different articles to run through today. And the one that I want to start out with, I can't find it. Hang on one second here, because I'm going to put it up on the screen. The big news of today. Here we go. Let me do this. I got to take out all these stupid ads on this thing. Yeah, there we go. Here we go. Get ready. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Playboy founder Hugh Hefner dies of being a reprobate. Dies of natural causes. 91 years old. Surrounded by loved ones. Oh, isn't that sweet? At his infamous $100 million Beverly Hills mansion, which he did not own. He sold it. Several years ago. And then the idea was he could still live in it until the day he died. Now he has a new home, by the way. Hugh Hefner, who bragged that he had been in bed with over 1,000 women. This guy is a reprobate, single-handedly destroying the moral foundation of the United States of America. 1953, he starts publishing smut. He starts publishing pornography, starts promoting a new lifestyle. I don't know if you know this, but Hugh Hefner actually had his own TV show back in the early days of television. I'm going to say very late 50s, maybe early 60s, somewhere around in there. But he had his own TV show, and he is promoting this new lifestyle of the new urban gentleman, a man who loves to drink, a man who loves lots of women, a man who is filling himself with all the sensual desires that a man could want in order to find happiness in life. Let me tell you something, Hugh. Solomon did it. Solomon did it better than you did. Which is interesting. Let me find this here and see if this particular article mentioned that he had bragged about being with over 1,000 women, because that just struck a thing in my mind here, because that was Solomon. King Solomon in the Bible says he had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and he had lots of money, which Hugh had. Solomon also had worldwide fame, which Hugh had. Solomon also had this vast empire, which Hugh had. Man. So we have another Solomon here. We have two men. One of them, God calls his son. God told David that the son that issued forth from David's bowels, God would say, "You are my son and I am your father." And he was speaking of Solomon. And God told David, he said, "If he sins, I'll chasten him with the rod of men. I'll put stripes on him. But my mercy will I not take from him like I took from Saul." Now, I don't know if you've heard me talk about this or not. This really, when I started looking at Solomon and Saul in the Bible, when I started looking at it as far as the doctrine of salvation is concerned, here are the differences between Saul and Solomon. Solomon, as far as sin is concerned, actually outdid Saul by leaps and bounds. Solomon was the Hugh Hefner of his day. Everybody's coming from around the world to see Solomon's mansion. Took him 13 years to build. 13. That's a bomb, bomb, bomb. Okay. Everybody comes from around the world to go spend the night in Hugh Hefner's Playboy mansion. Solomon, 700 wives, 300 concubines, has all of these women. Practically every woman, every kind of woman that a man could lust after, Solomon had them. Probably had two or three of them. Probably had 50 of them. All right? He has chariots, which are cars. He has music all the time. He has worldwide fame. He has this huge mansion. He has money. He has everything that a man could ever want in a lifetime. Solomon had it. Probably as I'm trying to find a difference between Hugh Hefner and Solomon other than where they are right now. But Solomon had it all. Saul, from what we can see in the Bible, Saul didn't have all the wives. He didn't have all the money. He didn't have all the fame. He didn't have all the power. He did not go after other women. We don't see in the Bible that Saul was a drunkard. What we see is a difference that, and it makes the difference between who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. And it has to do with acceptance or rejecting the word of God. Solomon, at the end of his life, God used Solomon as an experiment. And it wasn't for God to find, God wasn't, you know, writing down data going, "Okay, yeah, I see this. How's it going to turn out for Solomon?" God already knew. But God wanted Solomon's life to be a testimony to us. Solomon had it all, and at the end of his life, he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, 12 chapters full of my miserable, wretched life was filled with every kind of wicked desire that a man could have, and I'm telling you, it did not ever do any good for me at all. That's what Solomon said. If you read Ecclesiastes, that's what he says. But God had promised David that he would never take his mercy away from Solomon. And God kept that promise. How do we know? Number one, God doesn't break promises. Number two, we know for a fact that God favored Solomon and forgave all of his sins by way of what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter said that the scriptures, concerning the scriptures, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Solomon, writing probably most of the book of Proverbs, writing the Song of Solomon, writing the book of Ecclesiastes, those have been canonized for us in our Bible. They are preserved by the Holy Spirit of God. And they were written by a man that I believe is in heaven, Solomon. Why not Saul? Why didn't Saul, if Saul didn't do all those sins, why didn't Saul go? We only have a record of one sin that Saul committed. He rejected the words of the Lord. And therefore, God rejected him not only from being king, but we see later that God, the Bible specifically, word for word, says that God took his Holy Spirit away from Saul, and God sent an evil spirit to him. And Saul ends up turning to witchcraft. At the end of his life, the religion that is in Saul's heart is not Bible Christianity. It is witchcraft. Now, Hugh Hefner destroys the moral fabric of a nation. We just came out of World War II. We are just coming out of the Korean War. Television really hasn't taken hold yet. Radio is there. But you have a decency in the American family. You have a husband, you have a wife, you have children. I'm not saying everybody was a born-again Christian. What I'm saying is there was a decency in America at that time. Hugh Hefner single-handedly destroyed that innocency, destroyed that decency. Because let's be honest, Hugh Hefner is not just responsible for putting pornography into the hands of adult men. Hugh Hefner is single-handedly responsible for putting pornography into the hands of children. How many children knew where their dad's pornography was? How many? You see what I'm saying? He didn't just pervert men. He began the perversion of children all over this country. And the devil set this thing up. Used Hugh Hefner to do it. But this was a setup. It wasn't just to get at the men of our country. It was to get at the children of our country. And it worked. And you just start thinking about this. 1953, Hefner comes out with Playboy magazine. Not too long after that, he gives $1 million to Marilyn Monroe to pose nude in that magazine. Now, I mean, he's got everybody's attention. So you've got 7, 8, 9-year-old children, boys and girls, who are sneaking into wherever their dad keeps it and taking a peek. So they grow up. Now they're 18, 19, 20 years old in the 60s. These are the hippie generation children that all of a sudden now they're all about free love and free expression of what goes on between men and women. Do the math, people. Do the math. The young adults of the 60s were the children who were perverted during the 50s when Hugh Hefner started that magazine. You see how it works? Hugh Hefner died, stood before a holy God, and was sentenced for his sin. Now, you want to know the really bad part? I deserve the same hell that Hugh Hefner is in right now. And so do you. But for the grace of Almighty God and the forgiveness of sins, I would be headed to the exact same hell that Hugh Hefner is in. It is too late to pray for Hugh Hefner. It is not too late to pray, number one, for yourself, because we're all living in this world that was created by the sins of Hugh Hefner. We're living in this world. We have been affected by the world that Hugh Hefner created. So the prayers are for ourselves, for our fellow kinsmen, and for our children. Because now, it's not just find out where Dad keeps his stash. Now it's everywhere. And it's hitting our children. And you and I both are seeing the results of Hugh Hefner's new lifestyle for America. Single-handedly destroying the innocence of America. Does he deserve hell? We all deserve hell. But he spent 91 years rejecting the grace of Almighty God. You and I hope that you know God's grace. In the age of Hugh Hefner, I hope that you know about God's grace. You can be like Solomon. Though you have sinned, though you have sinned greatly, God's mercy is applied. He calls you his son, his daughter. We are the children of God, and God will never forsake us, but he will chastise us, just like he did Solomon. And when we're chastised of God, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, despise not the chastening of God. For whom God loveth, he chastiseth. If God loves you, he will beat you. If God loves you, he will take a rod to you. He will apply it to you. He will treat you better than any father ever treated a son. That's how God will treat you. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that I am here today representing for you. This is why. This is the talk show that hell hates. What can I do next? What's coming up here? I got to show you this. You're going to see some eye candy here. This is the Sony website, sony.com/evolve. If you want to go there on your website, that's fine. You're going to see the same thing. Look at the graphics here. Now, the devil knows that humans can be played by way of eye candy. The devil knows this because he drew Eve's attention in Genesis chapter 3. He drew Eve's attention to the fruit that was on that tree, and Eve saw that the fruit was pleasant to the eyes. It was attractive to her. So whoever designed this knows. We love eye candy. We can be taken in by the lust of the eyes. This is Sony. They're advertising a new television set. Okay? And this television set, if you've not seen a 4K TV in action. I remember the first time I saw a high definition television, and it was at Sears, and it was next to a standard definition television. And I'm looking at a high def television and I'm going, oh my goodness, look at that. That is amazing. Oh, I've got to get one of those. And then you compare a 4K television next to a high definition television. 4K basically, it is four times the number of picture elements. That's what a pixel is. A picture element, a little dot. It is four times the number of dots on the screen that gives you the picture that you're looking at. And it is absolutely stunning. But I want you to look at what they're not selling just a television, are they? As this thing keeps rolling across the screen, they're not just selling a television. They're selling an idea. You see the idea? They're selling a paradigm shift. They're selling to you the next stage of man's development. And they're telling you, evolve. They're not just suggesting to. They're not just saying, here's our television, buy it. They're giving you what is coming, I think, very soon, very rapidly. Do I know? I have no idea. And it's not September 23rd. Not going to be September 23rd. If you saw my my program on Tuesday, some of the comments that were, I'm not kidding you. I don't know. Sometimes I read the comments, sometimes I just don't. But they get sent to me in an email, and somebody's asking me about signs and how could, you know, well, if the people lied about September 23rd, then I guess God lied when he said signs and wonders. No. I never said God lied. God doesn't lie. That's my point. Man tells lies. God never lies. He never deceives his people. If God says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. If God says something is going to happen on a specific day, you mark it down, it happens on the exact day that God says it happens. So I don't know where people come up with this stuff. But anyway, we know that we are headed toward something that is foretold in the scriptures. Get your Bible out. In fact, I'll put it up on the screen for you. Let me do this for you. I just feel like sharing the Bible with you today. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent. See that word now? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You will... Let me click over here. There you go. You will evolve is what you will do. Let me show you that, how he said it. Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes, here it is, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The serpent promised Eve that if she willfully, knowingly disobeyed God, that what it would bring to her is evolution. That she would be changed, she would be transformed, that there would be an awakening in her consciousness, that her third eye would be... By the way, you know I've counted the exact words that the serpent said to Eve. Here is the first set of words, 14. Here is the next set of words. And if you add those together, 14 plus 32 is 46 words. The exact same number of chromosomes where our DNA is stored. I believe he was targeting her DNA. There's another count that I have in this selection of words here. I decided I wanted to know, because I figured, you know, the devil, what he says, surely it's got something to do with the Illuminati, all right? Because, like, the devil puts the naughty in the Illuminati, okay? That, now, you have to admit, that was pretty good. So I decided to count the 33rd word that the devil said to Eve. You want to take a guess at what it is, or you can just count it yourself. Here's the 33rd word that the devil says to Eve. Woo! Eyes. Eyes. Let me make an announcement. I have not yet recorded Watchman broadcast for this coming Sunday. I'm still working on that script. It's pretty close to where I want it, but for some reason I'm not satisfied with it. But things like what I'm seeing today, in fact, let me go ahead and show you what I'm talking about here. Here we go. Let me scroll down here and show you. I want to click on this video. There's not going to be any sound to it, because I don't want YouTube to have a spasm, even though this is a YouTube video. They'll say, that belongs to Sony, you can't touch that, all right? I just want you to look at the graphics here, all right? You're going to see, well, there's the word. Oh, looky there. See that? That's a symbol for something. Let me take you back there. Come on, scroll back here. Watch this again. Right there. That is a god. It is a spirit. It is the eye on the capstone that's on the back of the $1 bill. That is, and I can't tell if that's a left eye or a right eye. I don't really know. But anyway, the one-eyed god is the Antichrist. He is the idol shepherd mentioned in the Old Testament. And the idol shepherd has his right eye put out. His right eye is darkened. So he only has one eye. Do you remember Thor? Thor's father, Odin, which is what fourth day of the week is named after. Odin's Day, Wednesday. Odin is a god with one eye. There are several other gods in mythology that only have one eye. They're the one-eyed god. I think Quetzalcoatl had his eye taken out too, so he's a one-eyed god. But this imagery that you're seeing here, it speaks, even though there's no sound. It speaks to you. It's telling you something. It's putting an imagery into your mind and selling a concept. It's not just selling. If it was just selling a TV, there would be a guy in a suit standing there telling you about the new Sony Bravia TV, 55 inches of amazing color. Buy it now. See, that would be the commercial. But they're not just selling you a TV. They're selling you this concept. They're selling you this idea. This is the devil. This is the serpent. And you're Eve. And he is using this imagery to try to convince you to do what God told us not to do. So that, and he's selling the idea that if we disobey God, we will evolve. Then we will be as, see, I used to get this verse messed up. I used to think that this verse said, you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And then I went back and read it. And it didn't say God. It says gods. Ye shall be as gods, which are little g, evil spirits. You do a study, and I've started that today. Do a study of the word God, little g, or gods, little g, in your King James Bible. That's what man is destined to become. the gods, the evil angels. You can call them fallen angels if you want, but they are evil angels. They are little g gods. They are evil spirits, and they are devils. Man is destined to become as the devils, evil spirits, as the gods. And this imagery is selling you that concept. Let me play this again. Okay, oh, you got the woman going to dive into the water, and she's going to rise up out of the water. Okay, apparently this TV has, I don't know, the sound. Apparently the sound comes out of the TV screen itself is what I'm gathering from this. Okay, let me play this, some more of this. Oh, there's the sea. There's the ocean. That's where the beast is coming from. That comes out of the heart of the earth. That's lava. We're going to, let's see here. Let's watch it a little bit longer. There's fire and water. Let's see here a little bit more. Wait for it. Right there. They're selling you the idea. They're telling you. This is like the slowest subliminal advertisement ever. Okay? They're telling you to evolve. All right? Look at here. Experience a whole new world. Don't you dare close your eyes. Right? A whole new world. I mean, really? You go and you buy a brand new Sony Bravia TV and you put it in your living room. And that's supposed to bring a new world order in, right? No. Buying a TV is not going to change your perception of who God is. It's not going to give you a beast mentality. That is yet to come. There is a new world coming. And I believe it's coming soon. We are on the verge of it. We are on the precipice of it. Let me show you some more of this website here. Let's see here. Let's see if this video is any different than what we just saw here. I don't think I've looked at this one yet. That's basically the same thing. Let's see here. Oh, wait a minute. No, this is not it. There was another one. Hang on. Oh, this one. Get ready for this one. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and hit this music on this one, okay? I want to walk you through this one. Look at there. Messed it up. Let me go back here. They keep hitting you with this concept of evolve. They keep nailing you with this thing. This whole website is about evolution. Somebody, apparently, I don't know, I wasn't listening to the audio on this, but apparently at this gallery, some wacky artist, there was again, I don't know if you saw it on the wall, there it is, saw it on the wall here, right here, right up there. Somebody set up this room where they put all this light, this eye candy in this room, and everybody is dazzled while they're in this room. They've got OLED, which means, see, there it is again. They keep pressing the idea of evolution, a whole new world. But somebody set up this room full of eye candy and these organic light-emitting diode television. That's what OLED stands for. Organic. I don't know what the organic means. Together, Sony and Kaz created, but anyway, I think there's a little bit of sound on this.
This is space.
There. I didn't want that. But anyway, watch. Here we go. The pyramid. That is the temple and the kingdom of the Antichrist that brings in the new world order. See it? And they're going to flash it about two or three more times in this one video. Imagine if you were in this room. There's your eye again. Imagine if you were in this room and you were just being bombarded by all of this light and by all this dazzlement. And you were drinking wine and whiskey while you were doing it. Imagine that, okay? Boy, what a puke fest that's going to be. Going to this dizzy room while you're drunk. Let's see here. There's going to be some more evolution pyramid here in a second. Where is it? Where is it? Here it comes. Get ready. No, it's not there. I thought it would be there. But anyway, I've got so much more to show you here. Experience a whole new world, on and on and on. Da-da-da-da-da, new world order. Everybody get ready for it. All right, now what's next here? What's next, Pastor Mike? Let's see, that was Hugh Hefner. Oh, here we go. Get ready for that. I've got so many stories here, I don't even know how to segue into them. So I'm just going to do it like this. Here's another one. Scientists edit embryos, genes to study early human development. From London. British scientists have used a genome editing tool known as CRISPR to knock out a gene in embryos just a few days old, testing the technique's ability to decipher key gene functions in early human development. The researchers said their experiments using a technology that is the subject of fierce international debate because of fears that it could be used to create babies to order. Now, I'm not afraid that it's going to be used to do that. I am sure that it's going to be used to do that. There is no stopping it. A whole new world. For the first time since the creation, we are taking what God made with His own, with His Word, and we're saying to God, you did it wrong. We are going to recreate what you created. We're going to change the glory that you made in this world, and we're going to corrupt it with our own ideas, with our own stuff. They're saying this will deepen the understanding of the biology of early human development. CRISPR-Cas9 can enable scientists to find and modify and or replace genetic defects. Many describe it as game-changing. The phrase game-changing is not even close to what this is going to be. One way to find out what a gene does in the developing embryo is to see what happens when it isn't working, said Kathy Nyken, a stem cell scientist who led the research at Britain's Francis Crick Institute. You remember Francis Crick, don't you? The guy who was taking LSD and seeing all these coiled serpents together, and he's going, that's DNA. That's what it looks like. I win a Nobel Prize for taking LSD. Okay? Now we have demonstrated an efficient way of doing this. We hope that other scientists will use it to find out the roles of other genes. Now I want you to grasp what she just did and what these scientists did. These scientists killed babies. That's what they did. You see, I'm one of these people that believes that life begins at conception. I'm one of these that believes that a fetus or an embryo in the womb of its mother is as much a human being and alive as you and I are right now. And to all you liberal, wacko witch ladies out there that say, no, that's my own body. You have no rights over my own body. Let me inform you of something that maybe you don't know. That thing inside of you that you claim is your own has different DNA than you do. You see, we could take a plug out of any part of your body. We could take multiple plugs out of any part of your body, compare the DNA, and they would all be the same. We could then sample a part of that thing you call your body. We could sample that DNA and match it up against yours, and they won't match. because every human child, even though being the recipient of mother's DNA, father's DNA, has its own unique DNA signature. So Mrs. Witch, atheist, baby hater lady, that's not your body. That body belongs to an individual who, by God, has certain unalienable rights. And when you abort that child, or you're one of these wizard warlock scientists who thinks that they can experiment shutting off genes, destroying embryos after they are a few weeks old, you just committed murder. You just violated the rights of an individual human being that was given rights not by the government, not by the national health care system. It was given rights by God. Let me read to you a portion of the Word of God. Jeremiah. And if I seem a little different to you today, I am. I'm just a little different today. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." That's God. That is your creator. Abortionist, liberal witch lady. That is your creator. Your creator has announced to you that even before God formed you as an individual person in your mother's womb, that God knew you. God knew everything about you. And when God addressed you while you were in your mother's womb, He did not address your mother or a part of your mother. He addressed you specifically. You who are enjoying life, enjoying seeing the sunshine, enjoying the love of other people in your life, enjoying good food, enjoying having fun, enjoying organic LED televisions. You're enjoying the beauties and the wonders of life while you seek to deprive other human beings of that simply because of a technicality in the language that you use. You believe that if it's not born, then it's not alive. But that is not what God said. You want a double witness to that? Turn to Luke. Luke chapter 1. Here's a double witness here. Just because it's not born, that doesn't mean it's not alive. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. In Luke chapter 1, verse 39. "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah." This is after it has been told to Mary that she's going to give birth to Jesus. "And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." Hello, Elizabeth. "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." You see, that babe was John the Baptist. The Bible says that John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost even from the womb. And I remember saying that one time on PMO, and somebody wrote to me in an email and said, "Hoggard, your argument is irrelevant. The phrase from the womb simply means after it came out of the womb, he was full of the Holy Ghost." Whoever you were, your argument is as double irrelevant as you think mine is, because John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost so much before he was born that he leaped inside of the womb of his mother when he heard the salutation of Mary, who was already carrying in her body Jesus Christ. So I didn't plan on talking about that today, but I'm just one of these people that believes that when God makes life, no matter what form it is, when God makes human life, no matter what form it's in, whether it's an adult male, a child, a pre-born fetus or an embryo, or if it's one cell at the very beginning of conception, that is a human being, person, individual that God made. And here you have scientists that are taking the genes of these pre-born human beings and killing them, rewriting them, experiment. Does the name Joseph Mengele mean anything to you? I've got my foot caught on my headphone cord. I almost had to dive under the table to get it. Does Nazi Germany ring a bell to anybody? They were experimenting on Jews. They were experimenting on human subjects, doing detestable things, terrible things. Why? Well, we want this for the betterment of the Aryan race. We want it for the betterment of mankind. That's what they're saying they're doing. They're saying, we're going to freak these babies up, kill them, monkey around with their genetics, before they have a chance to defend themselves. We're going to do this. I think it's butchery. I think it's barbarianism. This is murder is what it is. And this is doing exactly... I'm going to end up in the book of Romans at some point today. Romans chapter 1. This is doing exactly what God prophesied in the book of Romans. Professing themselves to be wise, they're fools is what they're doing. Let's see what's next here. Oh, here we go. British supermarket offers finger vein payment. Fingerprint technology could be coming to a supermarket near you. Cue the music for that one. Get ready for. Are we not already? We've been using credit cards now for years. Now we're using the chip in the credit card. We're not sliding them anymore because, you know, you get tired of, you know, okay, slide your card. You slide it. Oh, no, turn it around. So you turn it around. No, turn it upside down. No, okay, no, turn it the other way. Now slide it. Well, slide it again. Now slide it slower. No, you need to speed up a little bit. I hated that. So they put a chip in it. And now we just stick the chip in there. So you stick the chip in there and it reads the chip. Pulls the money out of your bank instantly. Now we're using Apple Pay, Android Pay, Samsung Pay. You pay with your mobile device. Now we're edging closer. See, the finger is part of this biomechanism that we call the right hand. Revelation chapter 13. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. See, if I had six fingers on one hand, I could just do that. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But thank God I don't. Six things there. Small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. To receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Your veins are in your right hand. Think about it. That cues some music on that. UK supermarket has become the first in the world to let shoppers pay for groceries using just the veins in their fingertips. What did I lose? Hang on here. What did I lose? Are we back up? Somebody that's watching me that knows my cell number, text me. Make sure we're on Facebook and or sermon audio. But anyway, blood, DNA, We're talking about getting ready for the mark of the beast system. So that, because it says, so that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. You see, we get back to this number six thing. What is the meaning behind the number six? Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Down in verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. That means before the flood, and also after that. That means after the flood, when the sons of God, came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Here is the meaning of the number six. The number six is a number of, how can I put it, hybridization. Because you have sons of God, angelic beings. And I won't go into all the proofs today. I may do that again if you want me to. But we have angelic beings, the sons of God. We have human beings, the daughters of men. We have like what every Freemason symbol represents. The compass represents the male. That represents the heavens. It's pointing up. The square represents the female, represents the humans. It's pointing down to the earth. It is the joining together of heaven and earth. Just like in the symbols of the elements that we've been seeing in the Watchman broadcast. All right? But anyway, that's what the number six represents. Think of opposites. Sons of God, daughters of men. Go back to Revelation 13. Let me show you this. This is, God is a genius. Okay? That's Jude. Revelation 13. Watch this. I'm going to show you the number six and how it relates to opposites, the joining of opposites. Verse 16. He causeth all, both small and great. Those are opposites. Rich and poor. Those are opposites. Free and bond. Those are opposites. Three sets of opposites together. Six. Small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. To receive a mark in the right hand of the forehead. And that mark is plastered with that number six. I have a website, and I haven't done much with it lately. I am still, like every time I go to the supermarket, every time I go to Costco, Sam's, Walmart, whatever, commercials on TV, advertisements on the internet, I am still collecting numerous photos, examples of, you know what, I could do that. I could show you some of my examples of what I'm talking about here. Let me put that on the screen for you. Here we go. Hexagons everywhere. Here's another one. Here's three of them right here. 666. Here's three of them here. And there. Multiple hexagons there. How about Hurricane 6? See that? There's six little petals here, or whatever that is. And there's three of them in sets. You'll find these in sets everywhere. The crackers, hexagons. Look at here. Hexagons. Why are they using hexagons? Why? 6 grams per serving. 6, 6, 6, 6, 6. 6, 6, 6. Here we go. Here's some more. Six pack. Here we go. 18 pack. Six black raspberry, six orange mango, six lemon lime. Dun, dun, dun. That is the, like a double yin-yang symbol, or the mandorla, the almond symbol, symbol for the sacred feminine. Here's another one. One, two, three hexagons on this. Here's one here. Notice the opposites that are just embedded in this one. You have this and then this here, shown to you as opposites, just like in Genesis chapter 6 and Revelation 13. Honey roasted, here we go. There's one there. That's the all-seeing eye. That's the all-seeing eye embedded in a hexagon. Okay, there was one there. Let's see. Oh, this is, what movie is this? I think this is Battleship, I think, if I remember right. There's a game for Apple. The Spark. Notice that. That's the same logo as Walmart has. And it's called the same thing, the Spark. And it has like six rays coming out of the sun. There's another version of it. There's one there. That is like a four element symbols. I already used that. Let's see here. Well, take a look at that. Predicting a future free of dollar bills. Look at what they did here. It's like the finger touch from Michelangelo's God giving life to Adam. See that? See that number six there in a staircase? There is from Mrs. Fields cookies. That is from Star Trek. Can't remember which one it was, but it's like the remake of the Wrath of Khan. And inside these pods here are Khan's fellow creatures. They've all genetically modified human beings. And there's 72 of them. Dun, dun, dun! And the number on this pod is 6660. Here's sixes here. They're backwards. Let's see here. The bottoms of these shoes. Let's see here. The bottoms of these shoes are hexagons. Here's some here. There's a game there. It uses that for its logo. Here's another one. Logo. Let's see here. Let's see here. That's like a, yeah, synchronicity. That's a like a yin-yang symbol joined together. Let's see. Here's sixes here, all in this tree. Divergent, Allegiant, Insurgent uses the four elements for its theme. Let's see here. Well, yeah, check that out. Spark. Fusion uses a sort of a modified hexagon here. There's a bunch of them there. Here's three of them together for a game. Time Magazine, Evolve the Future. That's from the, I can't remember what movie that is. Here's three of them together. Here's three. There's DNA, man's ascension. There's another like a yin-yang symbol. Here's some more hexagons here. Imagine Dragons. Okay. Tool. There's the hexagons here. How many more do you want to see? I've got hundreds of them. Six. Oh, this is a tent for me. Okay. I thought that was pretty good. Okay. Big pipe. There we go. Here's sets of three hexagons. This is a like a replay or an advertisement for a football game. Why do they put these in there? What purpose do they serve? I think it's embedding this concept. Here's three of them together. It's as easy as one, two, three hexagons. Let's see here. There's three there. There's Big Shaq. Gold Bond. Did you know that there is one, maybe two things in the Bible. Two things in the Bible other than the mark of the beast that are associated with the number 600, 3 score, and 6. Only two other things in the whole Bible that I've found so far that are associated with 666. Gold is one of them. the amount of gold that came in to Solomon in a year's time was 600, 366 something, and I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was 666 in gold. Gold bond. What did the Israelites make the idol, the image, from? They made it from gold. What did Moses do with it? He ground it into powder. And then what did he do? He made the Israelites ingest it. I want you to gather this concept. They ingested their gods. And I said gods, plural. I just read that this morning. I went back and reread it. Because when they commissioned Aaron to make this image, they said, up, make us gods, plural. So Aaron made a calf out of all of their collected gold pieces. Everybody gave what they had. They surrendered. They submitted. Aaron collected gold from everybody, and he fashioned this calf out of it. And Aaron said, he didn't say, this is your God. He said, these be thy gods, plural. Twice in the Bible, that calf was referred to in the plural. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but I do know that Moses made them ingest their gods. Okay? Their gods was inside of them. Are you catching that? Okay. Here's another one. Here's another one. What movie is this from? I'm trying to remember. I can't remember which movie this is. A lot of these sci-fi movies have these hexagons all in them. Here's one here, the box there. You can see the number 6 here. Dragon speaking. Dun, dun, dun. Let's see here. There's one there. Here in the background here, the hexagons. Hexagons here with this game. 3 of them on the Wilson. And it's the Wilson Hex. Evo. Evolution. Evolve. 3 hexagons. Have you seen enough? What's the next story here? Oh, here we go. Researchers connect a human mind to the internet for the first time ever. Well, I beg to differ with them, because I think our minds have been connected to the internet for the last, 10, 15 years, something like that? Have you ever thought about whether future humans will live out aspects of their lives online in simulated environments, or even extend their natural lifespans by uploading their minds to a secure cloud ecosystem? It's been a familiar idea in science fiction for decades, with news that Elon Musk was attempting to build a neural lace, the concept of a brain-machine interface, BMI. Or it could be like, I don't know, bowel movement interface or something like that. Entered the public lexicon. Now researchers at Wits University in Johannesburg, South Africa, claim to have linked a human mind to the internet in real time. The project, dubbed the BrainTurnet, I think that's like the stupidest name they ever come up with, required the researchers to gather EEG brainwave signals using only emotive EEG device and a simple Raspberry Pi computer. Raspberry Pi computer is a computer about this big, sells for about $35, and it's just like revolutionized. People are just, kids are getting these computers and doing things with them. The experiment allowed the human brain to become an information node in the Internet of Things. Let me explain if you don't know what the Internet of Things is. Let me show you here. Where's my phone? I have an app on my phone that, let me pull it up here, that controls all of the thermostats, both here and at my house. Because people leave the building and they leave the air conditioner on or they leave the heat on or whatever, and I turn it off, all right? So the Internet of Things is that this thermostat at my house is constantly sending out data to the Internet. It's receiving and sending data of the temperature of my house, the temperature outside my house, and what the status of the air conditioner or the heater is at my house. And it does the same at the church here. In other words, it's sending out information that is not the direct result of a human response. If you have a stove, a refrigerator, if you have one of these lights that is connected to the wireless network at your home or whatever, that's the Internet of Things. Your cell phone is constantly sending and receiving information. And I mean constantly sending and receiving information. Without you directly responding to something on your phone. That's the Internet of Things. In fact, probably more data goes out on the Internet from machines more so than what is directly connected to human beings. Hope I made that clear to you. But anyway, the experiment supervisor Adam Pantanowitz described it this way. BrainTurnet is a new frontier in brain-computer interface systems. There is a lack of easily understood data about how a human brain works and processes information. BrainTurnet seeks to simplify a person's understanding of their own brain and the brains of others. It does this through continuous monitoring of brain activity as well as enabling some interactivity. Where is this going? Here's what I think. We go back to Revelation, verse 11 of chapter 13. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, which is this symbol right here. Okay. And those of you who saw me do this, be sure you remember that I actually was talking about the lamb and his two. I did a video series on this. Can't remember what it was called. But basically, when the rock and roll people flash this sign or whatever, that is the two horns of the Lamb. It's showing you the spirit of the false prophet and how he is at work, how he is manipulating things. Anyway, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Verse 16 again. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, here's what I think. I think at some point, human beings are going to voluntarily join themselves into the collective, the hive. So that every human, every person on the planet, man, woman, and child, ceases to be an individual with an individual thought, with the ability to make a free and individual choice about every detail of their life. People are going to cease to do that. They're going to voluntarily give themselves over to the collective of the beast. The false prophet and the beast. And I want you to consider this for a minute. How many world dictators have there been? And did they actually have total control over everybody on the planet? No. No. The Caesars of Rome were probably the most powerful people in the world. But they didn't control everybody. They didn't control the early disciples, the apostles. They didn't control the early church. They didn't control John. You can't. God has given each one of us this uniqueness in our thoughts, in our brains. We as individuals have a free choice to make about most things in life. In fact, I would say about everything in life. You could choose who you will serve. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Adam and Eve had a choice in the Garden of Eden. Israel was given a choice. Choose Barabbas, that they pulled up out of the pit, out of prison. He's a type of the Antichrist. Choose Christ. He's the Messiah. They rejected Christ. And get this. They rejected the Messiah and chose the guy that came up out of prison. That's a type of the Antichrist. That's who Israel chose. But they had a choice. Right now, everybody has a choice, and everybody is making that choice. But at some point, God is going to send strong delusion. People are going to believe a lie because they're going to be turned over to it. In fact, let's get Romans out. Romans chapter 1. They're going to be turned over to a reprobate mind to believe this big lie that's going to be told on the earth. And as of that point, I believe that every man, woman, and child existing on the earth at that time, upon receiving the mark in their right hand or in their forehead, I got something to show you. Get ready. Where is it? Let me pull it up before I lose my train of thought here. You got to see this. Do you believe technology is evolving into the mark of the beast? I do. Whether it's payment systems, financial transactions, the Internet of Things, or the advancements in technology that brings our personal technology device one step closer to being under our skin. I believe technology is evolving into the mark of the beast. I use technology. I use technology every day. In fact, there probably isn't a day that goes by that I don't use technology. Probably not a day that goes by. Even when I'm out hunting, I have my phone with me. Okay? So I can, I am thinking seriously about live streaming to YouTube this year's deer season hunt. Okay? It may end up being the most boring hours of your day, but I'm thinking about doing it anyway. Anyway, here's what I'm saying. I think upon everybody receiving the mark in their right hand or in their forehead. I think at that point, the prophecies of the scripture kick in place. Let me give you one that I'm referring to. Go to the book of Daniel, if you would. The book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar, I think, is a type of what is going to happen on this earth to mankind. Ezekiel, Daniel. I could probably have done it quicker on the software, but I want to use my old trusty handheld technology Bible here. Daniel chapter 4. Let's see here. Let me find it here. This is the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, where he turned into an animal. Is what he did. Let's see here. Let's start in verse. Oh, I can't find it. where it talks about a beast heart is given to him. I'm probably looking. Oh, yeah, it's verse 16. Here it is. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. And think about what is that like symbolic language? Is it only metaphorical where, you know, Nebuchadnezzar just became like, you know, carefree and, you know, just went to the bathroom wherever he was and stuff like that? No. It means exactly what it says. The heart of his humanity, his soul, was taken out of him. And the heart of a beast was put into him. And for whatever seven times was it 7 years? Maybe. But for however long that was, Nebuchadnezzar was a beast. His hair grew. His fingernails grew. Went around on all fours. Probably went to the bathroom wherever he was. Ate grass out of the backyard. And he's like, he's a beast. Can you talk to him? No. Can he talk back? No. He's like this for, let's just say, 7 years. And at the end of 7 years, God put the man's heart back into him, put his consciousness back into him. But for all intents and purposes, for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar was in every way a beast. A wild animal. A devil. A god. Little g. Okay? So I think when people take this mark of the beast, that a beast's heart is going to be given to them. We need a double witness. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 1. I've been talking about this. My nose has stopped up. Can you excuse me just for a uno momento? I'll turn the volume down so you can't hear it. All right. Oh. All right. Boy, do I feel a lot better. Oh yeah, that's great. All right. Anyway, Romans chapter 1. See, when I do this, like I'm doing a Watchman, I can cut that out. It's lies. You're just going to have to deal with it. Romans chapter 1. Let's look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. That is the right side of the brain. And their foolish heart was darkened. Think about that. Think about it. The light of the human heart is God. I hit the wrong button here. What button was that? There we go. The light of the human heart is Jesus Christ. He is, in John chapter 1, He's the light, let me read it to you, that lighteth every man that comes into the world. Our very humanity, our ability to make rational choices, decisions, comes to us by way of Jesus Christ. Let me read that to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Our ability to think and make choices as human beings, as persons, as men, comes to us by way of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true, this is verse 9 now, John chapter 1. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so, now take that now and go back to Romans chapter 1. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, I believe that in every human being, person, individual, human, on the planet, red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. In us is the very light consciousness of Jesus Christ. He is what makes us human beings. He does not say this of fish, birds, puppy dogs, kitty cats, hamsters. We have a rabbit. We have a dog at our house. We have a rabbit. Cute little bunny. This bunny does not really know who I am. This bunny does not look at me and say, "Hey, Pastor Mike, how you doing? Can I have some carrots today?" He does not do that. This bunny rabbit does not have the consciousness that I have. This bunny rabbit does not have the ability to make choices like I have. He does not have that. My dog does not have that. Your dog does. I don't care how much your dog loves you. Your dog does not have the ability to reason and make. I had it explained like this by a teacher in high school, and I don't know how valid this is. But you and I have the ability to close our eyes and imagine ourselves sitting on the other side of the room. Think about that. You have the ability to close your eyes and imagine seeing yourself sitting on the other side of the room. Dogs, kitty cats, fish, puppy, alligators, dinosaurs, pterodactyls, they don't have that ability. We do. Where does that come from? That light that he refers to here, I believe, is our consciousness, and it's in our heart. There is a light inside all of us as human beings that gives us the ability to make choices as humans. Jesus is the Son of Man, all right? So, with that in mind, now we go back to Romans, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know what happened? The light went out. Or, excuse me, I'll put it in a religious way. What happened to them was nirvana. That's what happened to them. The word nirvana means blown out, as a candle is blown out. That is nirvana. If you take the concept of nirvana and match it up with what I just said, you'll find out that I'm right. Nirvana basically is the cosmic void of Buddhism, because it's said that Buddha dwells in the nothing, the all-encompassing void of nothingness. That's where Buddha dwells. And I believe it, because I think Buddha is a type of the Antichrist. And I believe the Antichrist lives. The book of Job describes it this way: where the dead are, it is a place without order. It's chaos. It is nothing. It's a void. It's the abyss. It is the bottomless pit. And so, inside of us is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. His individual consciousness. His ability to reason and think rationally and make choices. That is the light given to us by God. Certain people, and I think all of humanity, when they receive the mark, God's going to blow the candle out. The light that is inside of them that lights every man that comes into the earth. Here is Romans chapter 1 telling you that their foolish heart is now darkened, because all of their imaginations are vain. Everything they dream up is nothing but vanity. So, When they do that, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There was a knowledge, an illumination, a wisdom that the serpent was promising Eve would have when she willfully, knowingly disobeyed God's commandments. That wisdom is the wisdom of the Illuminati. It is, and the phrase Illuminati means illuminated ones. But it's the opposite. They're not really illuminated, they're darkened. The Illuminati and whoever would be involved in a super secret organization called the Illuminati itself, they are not illuminated, they are darkened. And everybody that falls into this new world order, this is like the second time now that my connection's been cut. Let me look at it again here. Again, if you know my cell number and if Facebook or Sermon Audio has been disconnected, let me know. Because it keeps cutting out on me. That should be like a dun-dun-dun. Okay. Let me get back to this. Everybody that takes the mark of the beast, instantaneously, when that happens, the collective consciousness of humanity, all of their hearts are going to be darkened in that one moment. At that point, they will no longer be able to make individual choices. There's a teaching I did called The Gathering. If you have not seen that, I recommend it. And it's very germane to what I'm talking about here. I could go back and do that all over again. In fact, I might do that. But just get this idea. Go through the Bible and look at how many places there you had a leader, and everybody was gathered together as one man under that leader. Whether it was David or whether it was Sennacherib or whoever it was, there was always like a war or a battle that was going to be fought. And every man was gathered together. Or the Bible says, and when they were all gathered together. Or in some places it says they were gathered together as one man. And I want you to think about that. Because what's going to happen is the beast, the false prophet, is going to send out. Everybody's going to get the mark. And they're all going to be part of the collective now. And whatever the beast heads tell them to do, that's what they're going to do. And they're not going to be able to make a choice against that. They're going to be in absolute total enslavement. Now, one of the things that I absolutely hate about the modern translations of the Bible is that they totally destroy the meaning of the word doulos. Don't even ask me. Do you know how long it's been since I studied Greek in Bible college? 1986. Okay, was the last time I studied Greek. But I remember this one word, doulos. The King James Bible translates the word doulos as servant, which means one who serves. The modern translations make it slave. And you'll read where Paul says, I, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now he's a slave of Jesus Christ. And here's Jesus whipping Paul on the back. Do what I said, boy, or I'll get you. I hate that. I absolutely hate that. I am not a slave of God. I'm not. I am a free choice, free will servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I serve Him because I want to serve Him. He's not making me do anything. I'm here today by choice. I cannot tell you the number of ways the devil tried to talk me out of sitting here today. It was one thing after another. That's why I said I'm different today. I feel different today. Okay? It's not one of my best days emotionally. But I felt like I wanted to do this for you, for me, for the Lord Jesus. I'm here because I choose to be here. The Antichrist is going to take that away from everybody. He is going to darken their foolish heart. And when that happens, their choice is gone. They can no longer choose. They have to do, you know what? Let me put this back up on the screen. This starts to make a little bit more sense now. You see, when you see all these hexagons together like this here, you know what it looks like? A hive. Because bees, when they make their collective, they always make little hexagons, and that's where they're transformed. See, that symbol is a symbol of transformation. Because that's what happens in the hive. The transformation takes place. And in the hive, you are part of whatever the queen tells you to do. That's what you do. The worker bees and the soldier bees don't grow up one day and say, "Mommy, I want to be a worker bee." "But Johnny, you're a soldier bee. You can't be a worker bee." "But I want to be a worker bee. I don't want to be a soldier. I don't want to be a pirate." Bees don't do that. They do what they are born and bred and told to do by the hive queen. Nothing else. And folks, every day that technology evolves in this world, whether it's the next generation of iPhone or it is an advancement in a neural net that encompasses our brain, whereby it gives our brains the ability to connect directly into the World Wide Web. And I don't know if you've ever thought about the concept of a web, but a web never really works out too well for anybody but the spider. Okay? Just saying. It's a trap is what it is. But see, right now, I have the choice whether to be on the internet or not on the internet. I can choose that. Sometimes I just don't want to be on the internet. Sometimes I do. I make that choice. We are advancing to a day when people will no longer have that choice. They will be connected in. Probably Bluetooth is not going to be how it's done. Bluetooth is probably the great, 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 great grandfather of what it's going to be. But that's not saying then it's going to be another 50 years from now. There could be an advancement. Some scientists could wake up tomorrow having been given information by his spirit guides or his LSD masters of the next generation that's going to advance us. They're going to make a quantum leap in technology, and like in a year's time, we could have this technology that literally jacks everybody into the internet just like that. No more phones. No more TV screens. We won't need them. We'll be watching the next generation of television in our brains. People, that's where it's going. And there's no stopping it. None. So, what's the product here? Verse 22, Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory, here it is, of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Right here. See, this is why the Bible is numerical as well as being textual. There's patterns in the Bible. God uses these numbers to give us wisdom. So that when you see this verse, change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Not only are you given an exact description of how it's going to be, you're given a connection to what kingdom this is going to take place in. Fourth kingdom. When they mingle themselves with the seed of men, our DNA, man's foolish heart becomes darkened. The fourth kingdom is ushered in, and the glory of God is changed to corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Which, you're talking about Baphomet right there. So then, when this happens, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the King James Bible, who changed the truth of God. See, I just said that, right? The King James Bible is the truth of God. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. So all of you people out there that you're convinced that this Bible, 1611, is the absolute inerrant Word of God in English, you're sold on it. You're just, that's it right there. You can't go to church anymore where that guy is going to stand there and deliberately change the truth of God, this Bible, into a lie. Your spirit won't tolerate it. It makes you so angry or so zealous, you want to jump up in the middle of service and say, would you quit changing the truth of God into a lie? See, I remember years ago, I was going to a preaching conference out in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And there were some good preachers out there that were solid on the Word of God. And I thought that conservative meant King James. That's what I thought. There was a group of pastors that were on the board of this preaching conference. They decided who preached. And I'll never forget. I went out there, took my family out there, had all of our books and videos and everything like that out there. Was basically just giving everything away, trying to, you know, reach pastors for, you know, what God was showing us. This is before the days of the Watchman broadcast. And the very first sermon that was preached was by one of the board members. And he got up and he preached on the immorality in our country. Amen. He preached on liberals everywhere. Amen. He preached on how churches are turning into bar rooms. Amen. And then he got up and absolutely denigrated and destroyed anybody who was stupid enough to believe that the King James Bible was inerrant. And I sat there and I listened to him absolutely to destroy Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And I was so angry. My wife was literally holding me down. Because I told her, honey, I did not drive. I don't think it was like 12, 13 hours. I did not drive 13 hours to get out here to hear this man destroy the very thing that saved my life. And she said, honey, calm down. He'll be done in a minute. I said, I don't think I can take it. I literally wanted to jump up and shout that man down and say, you're destroying the Bible. And I didn't do it. I don't know if it was the right thing, the wrong thing. David Gibbs, Christian Law Association got up after that. David Gibbs will tell you, he helps churches in lawsuits, and he says, you don't go into court if you're going to deal with anything dang doctrinal. You don't go into court with anything less than a King James Bible. And I'm just going, yeah! So I was there to hear David Gibbs. But folks, they change the truth of God into a lie. And when they do, they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Folks, there is an evolution day coming, a revolution in evolution. You're going to wake up one day. We are going to wake up one day. And we're going to see another technological advancement. We're going to see another new generation of television, or new generation of phone, or new generation of computer, or new generation of quantum this, or DNA that. Take, what's the word I'm looking for here? Mark that. Understand it, and know that day is drawing near. Here's, I was going to show you this. I got to run, but I was going to show you this. You're looking at the next generation of something. Let me wet my whistle and I'll tell you what this is. You know what leopards have? Spots. Do you know what leopards cannot change? Spots. You know what lambs were rejected by the priests there at the tabernacle? Lambs that were spotted. Do you know what the false teachers and false preachers and false prophets are on our Feast of Charity? Spots. Do you know what pure religion does for us in the book of James? It teaches us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Do you know what that little red dot is on Indian women who practice their religion in India? You know what that is? It's called a bindi, B-I-N-D-I. You know what that word literally means? Spot. Amazon is releasing its next generation of Echo device. It's called the Echo Spot. And it's like, and I don't get this, but this is where everybody's headed. This goes in your house. This connects, this is a screen and a camera and a microphone. And you put this in your bedroom, people. You put this in your bedroom. And this is connected to the World Wide Web. It's called the Echo Spot. They called it that for a reason. You see, that bending that these Indian women get on their head, they don't just do that for decoration. They don't do that because it looks nice. They do that because it's a mark on their forehead. It is a spot on their forehead. They are marked in that they have had their foolish mind darkened. Which means, in their language, they have been illuminated. They've had their third eye open. Their pineal gland has been activated, and now they are awake, which means they are asleep. You see what it means? They're naming this technology literally, literally, the spot, the bindi, is the precursor to the mark of the beast and the evidence that their foolish heart is darkened. That's what that means. And they're naming the technology after the mark of the beast, people. Da, da, da. Folks, the evolution is coming. The revolution is near. Do you know Jesus? And I mean, Do you know Jesus? Do you know the God of the Bible? Have you been introduced to the real Jesus Christ, who is everything this Bible is and nothing this Bible ain't? Do you know who Jesus is? Because if you don't, you're going to worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. And your foolish heart is about to be darkened. And after that, you won't have a choice. None. There'll be no out for you. The door of the ark is not going to open up after the rain starts coming down. Tim LaHaye's prophecy of people getting saved after the mark of the beast, don't believe it. That's not what's coming. The revolution is coming. I plan on leaving when the evolution begins. When God gathers the tares, I'll be awaiting for God to gather the wheat. That's who I plan on being with. Pray for me. Sometimes devils just eat me up. And they are right now. Okay? I love you. Trust me. You people out here, you're the very reason I'm sitting here today. Because without you, I wouldn't be here. Okay? You mean that much to me. Believe me when I say that. Anybody that really knows me knows that about me. And I love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving me. So keep me in your prayers. I'll be praying for you. All right? God bless you. Don't forget. Think Bible. You'll need it.